in a fifth generational conflict. For every lie they tell, we're gonna get in their face and yell two truths.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Christ is king.
Look at how he steps and look how I step. Watch how I run up ramps and he stumbles down ramps.
We have somebody that doesn't understand what's happening. And it's a very dangerous thing. It's a very bad thing.
The unemployment rate is much worse than expected and very significant, as you know. Usually when we rise by half a point from the lowest unemployment rate, it means the economy is going into recession.
We are in the migrant camp of San Vicente. The majority right here on the back, all of them are from China, as they are migrating into the northern borders of the United States.
Donald Trump is trouncing Ron DeSantis. I mean, it's not even remotely close. You look at Rasmussen, you look at Emerson, you look at Harvard Harris, you look at the ABC Washington Post polls. Every one of those polls shows Donald Trump soundly beating Ron DeSantis.
Ashley Babbitt. They shot Ashley Babbitt for no reason whatsoever. They shot a thug. He was a thug who shot her, and it's a disgrace.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events. Now, for the Rav audience, you guys may have seen, you just saw me not too long ago. Long time no see, right? Because I was pinch hitting for Charlie Kirk on the Charlie Kirk Show earlier today. Didn't know I was going to do that, but, you know, sometimes that's how these things roll. Well, since we're in the spirit of synergy, I wanted to bring on as our very first guest another Rav host. I know you guys, it's like Rav upon Rav. It's Ravception going on today here on Real America's Voice, because we've got the great John Solomon from Just the News, who's got an incredible scoop for us, exclusive video from January 6th. Take it away, John.
Jack, good to be with you. Listen, this is we knew for a long time that what we were told at the January 6th committee wasn't true, right? We were told Loudermilk was running a Congressman Loudermilk was running a reconnaissance operation. We know that's not true. They lied all the time again. But one of the things we didn't know was how Hollywood scripted some of the events, even as the crisis was unfolding. Well, today we were able to get, or last night we were able to get footage of Nancy Pelosi's exit from the Capitol. Now, let's remind everybody, the day after she told everybody she was traumatized by the exit because it was so dangerous. Take a look at the exit. I think we can roll some tape here, right, guys? And I'll tell you what you have. This is Nancy Pelosi coming. There's her security detail coming down the hall. Now you're going to see the speaker. And look what's going on the left-hand side here in a second. She's being filmed by her daughter. See those little circles there? Yeah, they were doing this Hollywood style. They were exiting, making a movie. They wanted to make a movie out of this. And you're going to see multiple times, sometimes the daughter, Alexandra, actually gets in way of the security detail. And I'll talk about that in a second, because Chief Sun, the former chief, came on. Look here, you'll see the daughter kind of cuts off the security details. They go through the doors here. Watch this here. You'll get a good view of it. And then the daughter's coming around here. Alexandra will be here in a second. And there they go. And oh, the cop's trying to get, nope, she's going to take the camera position right there. And out they go, the door there. They didn't see this as a crisis moment. They saw this as a political movie moment. And as the security detail is doing the very serious job of evacuation, Nancy Pelosi and her team are basically turning this into a movie. And what's very significant about this, the chief, who was the Capitol Police chief the day this tragedy unfolded, he was fired a few days later by Nancy Pelosi, Chief Stephen Sun. He came on the show last night and said, listen, this hampered my security detail. They couldn't do a proper evacuation. They had to be taking care of another person that wasn't part of the security detail. And in fact, when they got to the special armored car where they're trying to whisk Nancy Pelosi away from the danger or violence at the Capitol at that moment, they had to give up one of their security seats to the daughter, which meant that Nancy Pelosi drove off without a full security detail. That's from the Capitol Police chief, who had never seen this footage. This is the first time he saw it more than 2.5 years after the event, or nearly 2.5 years after the event. Everything about January 6th was scripted. Today, tonight, if people tune into the show, we're going to give you phase two of the video. All of you remember that beautiful video that the Democrats showed on the opening day of January 6th? Well, I noticed something when I was going through the security footage. There was no sound in many of the scenes that I had seen previously. Like, I went to the expert there and said, where's the sound? Like, there's no sound on these tapes. But there was. I saw it in the January 6th hearings. Well, guess what? It was faked. The sound was dubbed in. Basically, the January 6th committee faked the tapes. They faked the American people by adding sound that wasn't on the tapes. We're going to reveal something else tonight. Congressman Loudermilk, now running the investigation of the investigation, told us that he just found all the scripts, that every word, every scene of the January 6th hearings were scripted like it was a Hollywood movie. What America was seeing was not reality or a pursuit for truth. It was an effort to persuade people by creating a political movie, Jack.
John, this is amazing because what you've uncovered, I've actually said, okay, I've said it as a joke occasionally since the start of the Biden administration and then really since the start of this Jan 6 committee, that it's like they're taking episodes from Aaron Sorkin's West Wing and then trying to portray that on screen. And there was even a time where there was this situation, and I'm sure you remember it. It was when they were talking about, you know, are we going to give the F-16s and then we're going to backfill the F-16s? And that was actually taken directly from a situation with Taiwan on the West Wing. And I said, this is really close to the West Wing. But what you've done is actually found a way to uncover that they're literally scripting these things out and creating the audio, you know, as if it's you and I and we've got the producers under the table banging on stuff and making noise to give audio to closed circuit footage.
Yeah, and all to create a narrative, right? To create emotion where there was an absence of facts, to create a narrative that would convince people that Donald Trump had a larger role in it or that the situation was more severe. Obviously, it was a serious situation, but they wanted to make it sound scarier, more different, more visceral so that they can make their political argument of persuasion. Now, congressional investigations have traditionally been about gathering facts. Since the moment that Adam Schiff got a gavel, though, as we've seen time and again, from Russia collusion to Ukraine impeachment to Joe Biden laptop or Hunter Biden laptop to now January 6th, what the Democrats did is they abandoned the pursuit for a neutral pursuit for facts, and they substituted it with an emotional Hollywood movie designed to create a political outcome. It's a real perversion of what has been a very important congressional oversight function for most of the last 246 years. With the Democrats, well, they just treat it like it was another fiction movie.
Well, that's exactly right. John, I want to hold you over if we can, because people need to understand the importance of what you've uncovered here, the importance of exposing the lies and the emotional-based lies that we have been fed as a nation since the day, in fact, even since the very duration at the time, in real time. They were lying to us on January 6th about what was happening. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back. We've got a lot more here. Human Events continues with John Solomon. We got Darren Beatty coming up later.
When I grew up in the hood, I rolled with Bloods. And them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trimatazole, it's a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
Okay, folks, Jack Posobiec here, back, Human Events. We're with John Solomon. John, can you explain to us, and perhaps we're getting some of this, but can you explain to us why was it that it was so important to keep this lie of the January 6th committee open? Because you and I, we've seen commissions before, we've seen committees before, we've seen investigations. Right. It seems to me that this wasn't a commission or an investigation into what actually happened. It seemed as though this was actually meant to affect the midterm elections and more broadly the political machinations of the 2024 election.
Yeah, listen, Alan Dershowitz recently wrote a book, Get Trump, and it just showed the relentless cycle that Democrats, they can't get Donald Trump out of their head, and the only weapon they have to try to influence elections right now, or one of the only weapons they have, is Donald Trump. Obviously, they use abortion a little bit too. They needed to keep Donald Trump front and center because they didn't have a platform in the 2022 election to run on. So they went back. By the summer of 22, when these hearings began, everybody knew what happened on January 6th, right? Just like we knew what happened during the George Floyd riots in the summer of 2020. There's not much mystery. We got it figured out. But they had to keep Donald Trump front and center. Now, most people tuned out, but that's all the Democrats had to offer. Now, I think there's a second reason why they want you to focus on emotion and vitriol instead of facts. There was a massive security failure on January 6th. Now, I've documented a lot of this with documentation. Darren Beatty's done a good job with that. We know there were intelligence failures, that they knew what was going to happen, but that intelligence didn't get in the right hands, like to the hands of the police chief who can make a call. We know they turned down the National Guard. on Monday, once we get through all the whiz-bang and show you why they were, all the deception they were using for you, Monday we're going to tell you one of the reasons why they wanted to be deceiving, why, what subjects they didn't want to have to address at this hearing. And one of them is, you're going to see this footage. Ron Johnson's talked about it. We've obtained it now. We're going to make it public on Real America's Voice, 6 o'clock Monday. There is a door in the upper west chamber of the Capitol, and about 2:30 in the afternoon, a Capitol employee, I think it's a police officer, lets a couple protesters out through that door. It's a consequential decision to let them out that door because it hits a fire push button on the door, which automatically unlocks the door. And once that happens, of course, the officer goes back trying to help his colleagues. That door is an unlocked entryway through the back of the Capitol or the west side of the Capitol into the rotunda. Over a 25 to 40 minute period, I count 327 people passing through that door, unstopped by police. That is approximately a third of the people that the FBI said improperly entered the Capitol. It is a massive security failure. No one understood that hitting the fire door to let that person out released the locks. And then they leave that door open. Now think about the consequence of that. The front flank of the Capitol Police is trying to defend the rotunda in the front of the Capitol. There's violence going on. Their own people opened the back door and left it open for nearly 45 minutes, which meant all sorts of people came in unchallenged, and the rear flank suddenly becomes a problem for their own officers. They put their own officers in danger, not intentionally, but because of a lack of training, a lack of knowledge of the system. And a lot of people had no one saying, don't go into the Capitol. In fact, they saw people opening the door and they walked in. I'm sure, from what I can tell from defense lawyers, this footage has never been made available to defense lawyers. But whatever effect it has on the cases, it is such an unthinkable security gap. Imagine if the Secret Service left the back door of the White House open, right? There'd be the Secret Service agents would be fired. We're going to show you time and again over several days these sort of security failures are occurring all around the Capitol, even outside the Capitol. And I think it's going to, you'll now understand why Nancy Pelosi wanted to create a distraction for America, a Hollywood fiction movie, because the truth was too embarrassing for her to tell the American public. She was in charge of security. These people reported to her. They let the Capitol get overrun in a way that it didn't have to be. The Capitol police chief has told me several times, this was a completely preventable attack. All I needed was the intelligence, and I needed those National Guard troops, and I could have not had a bad day that day. Nancy Pelosi didn't allow that to happen.
Well, John, of course, and we're going to have Darren Beatty up after you, and I'm going to ask him the same question. But when you put all of this together, when you start adding these things up,
right,
the fact that they withheld the intelligence, the fact that the security failures were there, the fact that they denied the request for federal assistance. There were two requests, by the way.
Yeah.
The federal assistance, which was denied by Muriel Bowser, as yeah. well as the request by President Trump to have the National Guard. We're also finding out that we have this in testimony now, that there were dozens, maybe even more, of federal agents that were in the crowd that day.
Yeah.
I guess my question is, was this set up to fail? Were the police there that day set up to fail because they wanted to use this as a political weapon against President Trump, against Republicans, against conservatives for a generation?
Yeah, listen, I don't believe in grand conspiracies because I know how incompetent the United States government is, right? Big government always can't carry out big
yes,
ideas. Just ask
true.
Us, right? I think there are a series of smaller conspiracies that add up to the perfect storm, right? I think there is some dysfunction below Chief Sund where some of his brass don't like him, and so they're not eager to make him look good that day. I think there is the holiday season and people tuning out when they should have been tuning in because the intelligence is coming in hot. Remember, about 6 months ago, I reported on December 21st, they knew everything. They knew what the Proud Boys were thinking of doing. They knew what the Oath Keepers were thinking of doing. They knew that people were talking about confronting and lawmakers, killing cops, bringing guns, all the things that should have been blinking, flashing red. But I think a lot of people were tuned out. You see long gaps after the intelligence come in where no one engages for several days because they were more interested in the holidays than they were in maybe creating a series security plan. Chief Sun goes and asks for the National Guard, but he's asking for it, and he can't tell people the reason why because no one gave him that intelligence. So he makes an argument that isn't very compelling to the Capitol Police Board, and they're like, well, where's the threat level? We're told there's no threat level. there's a series of failures. Some of them are perhaps small conspiracies. Others are just classic bungling government. Altogether, though, they created a tragedy that was completely preventable. Every person I've talked to in the Capitol Police, and dozens of whistleblowers have now come forward to me, they keep telling me, John, this was a preventable attack. And I want to say something else. Because Nancy Pelosi didn't expose the problems so we could fix them, here's to a person what the experts tell me today. The United States Capitol at this very moment is no more safe today than it was on January 5th. Nancy Pelosi didn't allow this to be aired, which means it couldn't be corrected, which means the home of our great Congress is still in danger.
Security failures, intelligence failures. John Solomon, thank you for your yeoman's work. Where can people follow you and get more?
Oh, yep, justthenews.com. And, of course, Jay Solomon reports on all social media accounts.
All right, thanks, John. Thanks for coming on again.
The country is being decimated. By the way, the deaths are far more than they're reporting. You know, when they say 9 apartment houses got knocked down and 2 people got hurt, hundreds of people died. The numbers are much different than what you're being told. I will get them into a room and they will, and I know an exact way. Number one, you tell one, you're not going to get anything unless you make a deal. You tell the other one, they're going to get a lot unless you make a deal. And you just sit them and you put them in, and you have to make a determination.
So there's President Trump speaking yesterday at that town hall in Iowa. Now, we've been following the tail of the trail, right? This idea that, of course, we know President Trump is in the lead in pretty much every poll that I've ever seen when it comes to the primary for 2024. Governor DeSantis is the closest one in him. But there's some other people, and depending on the state you look at, South Carolina, for example, Nikki Haley running neck and neck in a new poll that just dropped from college there. And so what we want to understand is, how is the back and forth going on this? And I got to say that when it comes to foreign policy, this is because, look, the DeSantis campaign, and let me analyze their line of attack. The DeSantis campaign's line of attack on President Trump has been COVID, 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 COVID. It's all about COVID. What did you do? You turned the country over to Fauci. You did all these horrible things. You pushed this vaccine. You did this. You did this. You did this. COVID, 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 right? But then the president's campaign responds back, you did all of the exact same things, and now you're trying to pretend like you didn't actually do them. And mainstream media is now going through the timeline on this, and they're coming back to back that up to say, look, there were lockdowns in Florida. There were vaccine rollouts in Florida. There were all of these things. Did it get rolled back? Of course it did. Of course it did. But to act like it didn't happen is just historical revisionism. But when it comes to foreign policy, this is clearly an angle where I don't know any other politician in America that's coming out and saying the things that President Trump is saying when it comes on foreign policy, particularly when it comes to Ukraine. Look, you just had Senator Lindsey Graham talking about South Carolina. Senator Lindsey Graham over there meeting with Zelensky saying the best money America ever spent was to kill Russians, as if it's the goal of the United States of America to take the people of another country and kill them. Like, I'm sorry, I thought the goal of the United States of America's government was to provide for the well-being of the American people and for our families. I want our tax dollars, if we're going to have a government, then I want my tax dollars going to that, and I want it to be to secure the peace and safety and prosperity of my family and my country. I don't want to go on some murderous rampage just because you watched a bunch of Cold War movies back in the 1970s and 1980s and want the war that you never got. By the way, Lindsay, you can go serve. You're more than willing to go over there. Why don't you fly to Bakhmut and take part in that? I hear there's a counteroffensive going on. Maybe you can lead the charge. But here for President Trump, he's talking. And now we don't know if this is just, he doesn't get into it here in the town hall specifically. But listen to what President Trump says. He's accusing officials, U.S., NATO, Ukrainian officials, of lying about the death toll on the ground in Ukraine. Now, we don't know if that's just his personal gut instinct on this, or whether he's got actual sources on the ground, actual sources. Because keep in mind, President Trump is still very well liked within the United States military. The rank and file in many of these places certainly could be getting information to him about what the true death toll is when it comes to Ukraine. And of course, we saw the horrific images. We've shown the horrific images out of Bakhmut. So I think personally, he knows something. He knows something, and that's what he's putting out here in this interview. Now, you might disagree with me. You might disagree and say, well, you know what? We need to fight the Russians, and we need to fight them over there, so we can't fight them over here, so we don't have to fight them over here. We have to stop the Russians in every single one of these places. So we've got to send the tanks and send the missiles and send F-16s next and Javelins and AT-4s. And who cares? Who cares if the Mexican cartels even get their hands on a couple of them? It's worth it to defend the free world. All right. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I think what President Trump has to say about peace, about getting both sides together, using harsh rhetoric, saying he made a joke. I don't know if we have the clip. But he had that joke where he said nasty things to Vladimir Putin to tell him that I will obliterate the spires of St. Basil's Cathedral, of the Kremlin, all of it, if you push into Ukraine. He said the same thing to Xi Jinping, the chairman of the Chinese Communist Party, when talking about Taiwan. That is the difference between a stable American foreign policy and what we have now, which is a foreign policy that is in complete chaos, absolute chaos. It's so bad that we had an agreement under Ambassador Rick Grenell. We're going to work on getting on Ambassador Grenell, by the way. We had an agreement between Kosovo and Serbia that was working, that was in place. The two sides were at peace, and now that's flaring up again. Now that's flaring up again. A lot of that's because of this this Kosovar PM. It's just completely nuts. And he is going to crack down on the ethnic Serbians there in the north. This is the difference, the antithesis of what's going on right now. What President Trump did was called peace through strength. And in order to keep our country safe, keep the world safe, you didn't see things like you did in Afghanistan. You didn't see things like this war in Ukraine. You stay strong. You keep strong. You use economic leverage, which is what he was doing all through the Trump administration. And so people can try their historical revisionism. People can try to lie. People can try to change history from what it was. But you know what? We did go through 4 years of peace and 4 years of prosperity. And I would say this to, we were talking earlier today on the Charlie Kirk Show about the populist left. And I would say this to the populist left. There's so many people out there that say, I wish we had a president that cared about peace. I wish we had a president that wasn't pushing America into all these foreign wars. I wish we had a president that wasn't a warmonger. Well, you know what? We did have one. And his name was Donald J. Trump. And look what this system did to him. And we talked about yesterday how they're going after him because he prevented a war, an invasion. Mark Milley had invasion plans, boots on the ground, American people. The boys of the Midwest, the boys of the South, American children, 18, 19, 20. Who do you think's going in infantry into that desert, into that maelstrom? That's our boys. And President Trump kept them out of harm's way. And these people, I don't even mean Joe Biden, falling into his cream cabbage. He's not the one in charge, but the people in charge are marching us towards World War III, and we need someone back to stop it. Coming back here, Darren Beatty. Folks, I want to take a quick second to tell you about Human Events' partnership with Patriot Mobile. Look, we've seen how many corporations out there, quite frankly, hate you. They hate you. They hate your family. They hate this country. They hate the foundation of ideals that we have here. They hate our history. They hate all of it. Why don't you go and turn your boycotts of those countries into a boycott? And one of the companies that I could tell you about in terms of that is Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is now offering free activation at patriotmobile.com/poso. They are your number one Christian conservative wireless provider, giving you nationwide coverage on all three major networks. And right now, if you go today during the show, you can do it. You can do it in another tab. I won't get jealous. I won't be jelly. PatriotMobile.com/post, so you can now receive free activation on the Patriot Mobile network when you use promo code POSO. Stop giving your money to people who hate you. You must begin to use the same type of economic warfare. Look, if it works against our foreign adversaries, we might as well use it against our domestic ones. PatriotMobile.com/POSO. I want to bring on Darren Beatty of Revolver News because, Darren, Media Matters is very, very upset with you. You've got them so emotionally disturbed. They're so angry because apparently you have been fighting the Biden administration and causing them to allow extremism and white supremacy throughout the entire military. Darren, how did you do this? Are you working for Russia? What is going on here?
Guilty as charged. Yes, there's a very charming piece that just came out by some unmentionable mediocrity, not because I don't want to say the person's name, just because I've forgotten it, because it's written by such a nothing. But as with all of these people, they're just agents. Media Matters, as we know, is kind of a disgraced, second-tier, Soros-funded rag. And basically, their job is to sit around all day and dig through our trash. And, you know, sometimes they find gems. And in this case, it really was a gem. I wouldn't have known this had it not been for Media Matters. Longtime Revolver readers might recall a piece that we ran quite a while ago. Now, as you suggested, it was about 2 years ago, a piece on an individual called Bishop Garrison. Now, people will recall in the wake of January 6th, Biden was expressing a desire to purge the military of quote-unquote extremists, by which, of course, he meant Trump supporters, anyone who is against open borders, anyone who doesn't want to see tuck-friendly bikinis in Target. These are all the extremists that they want to purge from the military. And he set up a special group, the Counter-Extremism Working Group within the Pentagon, that was staffed by an individual called Bishop Garrison. Like many rogues of the regime, Revolver News made Bishop Garrison famous, or rather infamous. We exposed this guy's Twitter history, his sentiments. He was going through the list, basically saying anyone who supports Trump is a racist and an extremist. And this was the guy that the Pentagon appointed to run this counter-extremism group in the Pentagon to monitor the social media activity and basically to conduct an ideological purge of Trump supporters and conservatives in the military. So this Revolver piece, like a lot of our bombshells, took off and ultimately led to the, quote, neutralization of this group within the Pentagon. So, you know, not to toot my horn here, but it's a great victory. I consider it one of our top victories at Revolver News that our reporting got this unit disbanded in the Pentagon. But the folks at Media Matters, Soros's little team of janitors, they weren't too happy about this. And so in order to punish me for doing this, they did me the service of chronicling in great meticulous detail how the Revolver piece spread like wildfire throughout conservative media, ultimately generating enough public pressure to, in their words, neutralize this absolutely nefarious Pentagon program to purge conservatives and patriots out of the military. So it's quite an interesting read. It's a great victory for the country, really. But in particular, I'm very pleased that our reporting was able to have this kind of effect. I will say this is not the first time that an organization had taken it upon itself to chronicle the influence of our narratives. In fact, I think you've spoken a lot about this group, the Election Integrity Partnership, that's been exposed in many ways in recent weeks and months. They took a special interest in Revolver News and, in fact, published a whole report about misinformation in the 2020 election and gave a similar treatment to our reporting on color revolutions, noting how the reporting started with Revolver and then went to War Room and then went to Tucker and so forth. And I have it on good authority that this pamphlet, which is produced by the Stanford Internet Observatory, which to his great credit, Jim Jordan is actually going after these guys. So we'll see what happens with that. But the Stanford Internet Observatory, you know, one of these, every university now has its like censorship think tank. Harvard has Berkman Klein Center. Stanford has something called the Internet Observatory, and they participated in this study. So at least in that case, I had an illustrious institution such as Stanford following my trails and digging through my trash. In this case, I'll have to settle for the janitors at Media Matters, but you know what? I'll take it.
You know, we're coming up on a break, but, you know, I feel so bad because, of course, Harvard, they just lost one of their key censorship centers, the Shorenstein Center, shuttering its doors, completely firing everybody. The wonderful, the exquisite Joan Donovan, I don't know if she shops at Target. Maybe she can get a discount there. I'm not sure which section she would shop in over there.
You know,
but
the
everybody
thing about-
lost their jobs. It's so sad.
You know, sometimes, you know, the genetic lottery can be very unfair. Sometimes in the case of Joan Donovan, it's just not fair. It's very clear that she got where she is because of her looks. And I'm sure she'll find a future career maybe in modeling or something like that. But I'm very pleased that the Shorenstein Center is shut down. They're a nefarious organization. They were tied into the whole network. They were cited repeatedly by disinformation clowns like Renee DeResta.
We got that break, but we need to break this down. We need to explain to everyone this archipelago of disinformation, as I've called them. Stay tuned. Be right back with Darren Beatty here on Human Events.
I'm always listening to Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
And we're back, Human Events, here with Jack Posobiec. We've got Darren Beatty on. You know, Darren, I wanted to get your thoughts on this, because as we've been talking about these efforts, one of course, it wasn't always with institutions. It certainly wasn't always in the government. But also, we see these same type of efforts being run out of left-wing press. Of course, it started with Gawker going after people like Peter Thiel. Of course, the infamous now Hulk Hogan video. But places like the Huffington Post, places like the another failed or defeated adversary, BuzzFeed News. I mean, they certainly come after me more than once. And they, of course, published the infamous urine dossier about President Trump. Today, Huffington Post is going after the AOC press parody account. The man who started the account was a Trump-supporting political pundit named Michael Morrison, defending the account in displays with Huffington Post. These people actually can't understand. They can't take criticism. They can't take humiliation. They can't take mockery. And he wrote, well, okay, he just said that he's not currently running it, refused to name the person who took his place, but said, if I was running it, I would gladly take credit because I think the account is hilarious. Said Morrison, who previously wrote whatever, blah, 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 ties to prominent far right figures such as Raheem Kassam, Jack Posobiec, and Laura Loomer. Oh my goodness. What a dastardly individual having ties to folks such as us. Horrible. And which by the way, we had said in the past that he was behind it. This wasn't like some big big thing. Also, they don't mention anywhere in the account, but Michael Morrison, you could see on his Twitter account, is proudly and openly Orthodox Jewish. But of course, they're not going to mention that.
Right. Well, you know, AOC has a vexed relationship with the Jewish community anyway. But no, it's I hope this individual manages the docs okay. It sounds like it'll be fine for him. It is a hilarious account and still going strong is my understanding. But your point about the left not being able to handle criticism is so on point. And, you know, it's one of the big reasons they have such a need for the censorship regime. They can't stand to be mocked because underneath it all, they have a deep and persistent sense that their whole ideology is a sham. And therefore, it is very fragile, which kind of ironic because one of their preferred terms of opprobrium directed at the right is, oh, the right is so fragile. They say like white fragility or, you know, male fragility and so forth.
Right,
but
yes, yes,
there's nobody more fragile than people animated by this clearly ridiculous ideology that can only sustain itself if it censors all possible sources of opposition. So good thing Twitter is in new hands, and it looks like this account will continue to thrive.
Yeah, I hope they do. And I understand the account is, I think, on a pause right now, but I certainly do hope that it comes back, because the return of parody accounts and the power of parody accounts on Twitter has always been one of the key elements of this, to the point where, of course, there is a man who, as you and I have discussed in the past, who in 2016 created a parody meme mocking the Hillary Clinton campaign, mocking her voters, and the Biden administration and the FBI bided their time, and they waited all throughout the Trump administration right until the very last moments of when Trump was still in office before the handover, before January 6th, and we're seeing some videos out now on that. They went and actually indicted and convicted a man off of the basis of posting memes making fun of Hillary supporters.
That's right. You know, it's far worse than simply parody accounts get deplatformed. It's reached the stage in this case where parody accounts are convicted of felony crimes. And this individual, it was a great account called Ricky Vaughn from, I think it's fair to say, the golden age of Twitter. There are some amazing accounts back in that era. And not just parodying the left, there are some parodying the right. There is a classic, I think it was called Conservative Pundit, which has sort of created a whole genre. There are many great accounts, but one of the best was Ricky Vaughn. And as you mentioned, did some devastatingly humorous memes about Hillary Clinton, but humorous with also an important message there. Some were about, you know, Hillary's penchant for warmongering and, you know, the very real possibility that she would have pushed us into World War III. And on the basis of that meme, as you pointed out, this individual was convicted of a felony crime. He awaits sentencing. I believe his sentencing is in August, and the sentencing could potentially be up to 10 years. Think about that, 10 years in prison for an effective meme mocking Hillary Clinton. That's the situation we're in right now in the United States of America. So we have a long way to go, but I think we're all in it for the long haul and ready to continue fighting.
Well, I think in that case, as an example, and I think it's important to bring that one up whenever we can, because the soft power of the regime, the globalist American empire, as you've put it, has been completely stripped away. So all they're left with is hard power now. The lawsuits, the doxing, the deplatforming, and now eventually they're attempting to just jail political dissidents like we're some post-Soviet republic or something that, you know, if you've crossed the line, we're going to throw you in jail. You've got people who were nonviolent from January 6th, a man going up to, you know, putting his feet on Nancy Pelosi's desk, and he's going to jail for something like 4 or 6 years, an insane amount of time. This idea that we have a regime like this must be understood, and that if we are ever going to get things right, we have to go through it. Darren, where can people get more information? Where can they follow Revolver's coverage?
Go to revolver.news at the very top. It's absolutely worth reading the chronicle of Media Matters, mediocrities, how they rage, how they seethe, how they simply can't stand the effectiveness of this bootstrapped startup news organization called Revolver News that shut down this disgusting Pentagon group. So go to revolver.news. I'm at Twitter at Darren J. Beattie.
Thank you, Darren. Always a pleasure. Look, folks, we've said it before. Every time a revolutionary regime gets into power, the first thing they do is purge the military. That's what they're attempting to do. That's what they were doing with the National Guard, the vetting of the National Guard troops that were brought on to the National Mall after January 6th for Biden's installation the inauguration, which no one attended.
Stop buzzing in my ear about the boring people at your office. I'm trying to listen to the new Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
And we're back. Jack Posobiec, Human Events. Now, I've been talking a lot lately about South Africa. You may say, why are you talking about South Africa? What does that have to do with us? Yeah, they're part of BRICS. Okay, you know, we've seen that in conjunction with the One Belt, Run, One Road initiative out of China, Xi Jinping. What does it mean? What does it have to do? Let me explain. South Africa has critical race theory written into its constitution. What does that mean? What exactly is critical race theory when you break it all down? It's simple. It comes down to racial quotas and racial preferences enshrined in law. Not just affirmative action, which, by the way, affirmative action is coming up before the Supreme Court. And it looks like, I think, reading the tea leaves, a lot of people here in D.C. believe that affirmative action will be struck down by the Supreme Court. That being said, the ideology lives on. South Africa is an example of what happens if you turn your entire country over to this idea of racial quotas everywhere. And that if you do this, and you completely reject the idea of the best person for the job, the best man for the job. Oh, did I just say that? Of what could happen next? Well, we've talked before about the insane rolling blackouts where the entire country or portions of the country will lose power for 12 hours a day. Now, what do we have? Now we have racial quotas for water. So if you want to get water in South Africa, they're now introducing racial quotas. We have a clip explaining this.
We shall give preference to applications from black people followed by women. So, you know, if you're a white guy or a colored guy or Indian and you have a business and, you know, it's agriculture, it's forestry or it's mining. Sorry, if your management structure that is forced down your throat by the ANC does not satisfy their need, then they can literally reject you getting water in order to do business.
So there you go. They have water shortages now, which are compounded off of the electrical shortages, which are compounded, by the way, the electricity shortages. When you know one of the issues of this, and I've said this before, it's not just because they have issues with generation. They also have issues of theft. Because people, gangs are running around through South Africa because they don't do anything about crime. The crime is so bad that the gangs are hitting electric power stations and electric substations to steal the copper wiring from the, like the power lines, like literally the copper line, the copper wiring that's laying out next to or connected to these power stations. They know it's cutting off all the power. They don't care. So imagine the videos of this, children having to do their homework with one of those flashlights, like a headlamp attached to their head with flashlights, going back to candles, like it's the Middle Ages or something. What are we gonna have next, oil lamps? And you know what's funny is that even in the midst of all this, in order to actually be able to see at night in South Africa, it is gonna get so bad that the government might actually have to start reintroducing the actual gas lights back to the streets. You know, the gas lamps? Maybe they'll be gaslighting you so hard to tell you that nothing's going wrong that they'll have to bring in the actual gas lamps. Look, ladies and gentlemen, we face so much in our country. We face everything that's going on from our election integrity issues, to the loss of American strength on the world stage, the purging of our military, the attempted purge of our military. Darren Beatty, Revolver News, getting the job done. Human Events, when Nina Yankovic was being heralded as appointed, not just announced, not just planned, actually appointed as the head of the Disinformation Governance Board, this Orwellian-sounding commission that had been instituted at the Department of Homeland Security, a law enforcement agency of the United States government. She was going to be targeting you. She was going to be targeting me, Human Events, Revolver, President Trump, the War Room, you name it. What did we do? We took her down. and Human Events, the power of this audience, the power of identifying trends early, getting the information into the hands that it's needed, getting it to Congress, getting it to the Senate, putting the pressure on, guess what? Nina Yankovic is no longer in that position. So I'm very sorry, Nina, but don't worry. So to Nina Yankovic and Bishop Garrison and all of these other people out there that lose your jobs because of us, I want to let you know that even though you may be crying yourself to sleep every single night because you thought you were so close to that brass ring and you lost it, that you can still get a quality yet affordable night's sleep thanks to MyPillow.com, promo code POSO, never promo code Tanya. We will give you the best discount that we're legally able to. So give us a call right now. Talk to a qualified Pillow representative. Maybe Mike will even get you on the line and be able to help you through those problems, because Mike, he's a believer and you should be too. Nina, Bishop, to everybody else, to the folks at the Shorenstein Center, Joan Donovan, you might need a couple of pillows, Joan. I understand. But don't worry, because there is still hope for you yet. Look, folks, it's been a great week. I really do think that the biggest news this week, it wasn't the tail of the trail. It wasn't necessarily President Trump. It wasn't necessarily Governor DeSantis. But the fact that Scott Pressler and the action is out there. Turning Point Action. Make sure you go tpaction.com. Sign up for Action Conference that's going to be going on down in Florida. July 14th and 15th, I will be there. You'll be there. It's going to be fantastic. Yes, there's going to be great speakers, but also we're going to be putting together the network that saves this country. That's why you must be there. It is a working group. Make sure you are subscribed to Human Events Daily on the podcast. Make sure you're subscribed to Human Events Daily. We're putting up a Rumble page. We're going to make sure everything gets out there, because even if, and we're live on Twitter right now, I know, and Elon's doing a good job. Twitter was having some issues this morning, but I think that might have been related to this whole what is a woman situation. I want to be very clear. You will not stop the signal. That is why it is imperative that you hold on to your subscriptions, hold on to this podcast, hold on to Rumble. Thanks again to Real America's Voice for keeping us live every day this weekend. You know, what can I say? They say, you know, here's a by the way, a little marriage hack for you guys, for all the gentlemen out there. Don't pick a movie that you want to see. Pick a movie that's going to put your wife in a good mood. And that's why this weekend, I am going to take her to The Little Mermaid. She's going to love it. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission to lay ashore.